Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Okay, it's the Manchester Odyssey and it's... Did I say it's the Manchester Odyssey, the beginning of the episode?
Don't
know. Fucking, I don't know.
What does it matter?
Yeah, you know what you're listening to. You've got writing on your screen that tells you what it is. Just look at that.
I mean, that's the thing. TV, radio, broadcasting generally, the conventions should have been deconstructed fucking years ago. That's why the YouTubers are winning. Because all this sort of hello and welcome to this is a fucking insult. Do you know what I mean? It's like, don't be a stupid cunt. Telly's been going around. You're not like on the BBC in the 1940s. You don't have to say, good evening. You are listening to the British Broadcasting Corporation. I am a human male speaking into a microphone.
I'm wearing a dinner suit.
Yeah. You're just sort of like, look, you know what this fucking is and why you're here. So just fucking listen up. We're going to talk about... We're two fucking... fat old cunts about to talk about a comic from the 80s. Take it or fucking kids. Leave it.
So there we are. In my left hand right now, I am holding the 2nd of July... No, sorry, the 23rd of July, 1983. Issue of Roy of the Rovers. Across the top, it tells us that the sign please subject in this issue is none other than Brighton's Steve Foster. Now, why did Steve Foster stand out as a footballer in the 1980s, Sam?
Because he wore a headband.
He wore a headband. Indeed, he did. Do you know why he wore a headband?
I don't know. Just liked it.
Yeah.
Had a sweaty forehead.
It was like when Jane Fonda's workout was big.
Yeah, he was really into aerobics, which was a new trend at the time.
I think it was... What was it? I think it was described as he had scar tissue on his forehead from skin grafts maybe that he'd had from an injury, so he had to wear the headband, otherwise his head would just burst open every week every time he headed the ball.
Can't be having that.
That would just be off-putting.
Love
for
to
everybody.
See a player's head cut open though. We've got this lad Craig Dawson at West Ham and he's like a right throwback sort of old school guts and glory defender, and I don't think there's been a single game this season where he hasn't cut his head.
Yeah, I mean,
to the extent that I'm starting to get suspicious that it's like he fakes it, like he's got some sort of like prosthetic, like, you know, you can have like a what do they call them when they wear them on film sets when you'll be, is it squibs aren't they? So like in The Godfather, when James Caan gets shot to fuck at the toll booth, he wore like a record number of squibs, didn't he? Like Coppola made him wear like 1,000 squibs, so he just exploded in blood. I'm starting to think Craig Dawson wears a head squib underneath some prosthetic skin, so he's guaranteed a head cut every game because it just makes the fans love him more.
So he's kind of no nonsense. Is he capable of playing out from the back?
Well, he's learned because David Moyes is a footballing genius. When we took him from Watford, he was known as the relegator because he'd been relegated with Hull, West Brom and Watford. The Watford fans were only too happy for us to buy him. It was one of those situations where we'd attempted to buy a number of much more famous and expensive centre-backs and failed. So in the end, at last minute, we took him initially on loan.
Yeah.
And then eventually paid like £2 million for him or something. And he's turned into, like, I would say probably the best English centre-back in the Premier League and should play for England. But he's a veteran. And at first he was just head it out, cut your head, boot it, fucking tackle someone, keep it simple. Yeah. But now David Moyes has also enabled him to play a bit like Paolo Maldini with the ball at his feet, feint one way, send the attacker the other way, and then ping a fucking 30-yarder into the path of Mikel Antonio.
Miraculous.
It's incredible.
Miraculous stuff. Mm. Good. So, of course, there was that blood capsule thing in rugby a few years ago, wasn't it? Which was similar. Where one of the players had a blood in his mouth, I think, and he bit into it and then looked like his mouth was bleeding.
And then what did he do?
Mouth bleed.
Yeah. Stop the game. I could have AIDS.
I don't know what the end product was meant to be, to get another player sent off or something. I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, but you don't necessarily, you don't get them, even in fucking football where the rules are, you know, increasingly strict and absurd. You don't just get sent off for a player who was near you cutting them, bleeding from the mouth.
I don't think so, because that can easily happen, can't it? It's just an accident.
Who knows what goes on in rugby? No one understands the rules. Most of the fucking mouth injuries in rugby are for them sucking each other off in the changing rooms at half time.
Pretty much, yeah. We're not going to be history boxing animals. That in a hurry.
Yeah.
Anyway, Melchester Odyssey. So Brighton Steve Foster is the sign, please, in the middle. I'll show you if you want to have a look. There you go. In the Brighton yellow away kit of the time.
Big lad, weren't he? Not a big natural lad. Looking athlete.
Yeah. Yeah, curly hair, big bastard.
Got a couple of England caps though, mate, didn't he?
He did.
Whilst playing for Brighton.
Mm.
Ah, did he move to Luton Town? I feel like he played for Luton Town.
Not sure. I can look it up. I don't see where it's headed.
Well, I tell you where it is headed is that, like, sometimes I'm not really a big fan of Luton Town, but the Luton Town team of the mid to late 80s was a very memorable side, wasn't it?
Well, he was in that side. He moved to Luton in... Weirdly, he was at Brighton 79 to 84, moved to Aston Villa in 1984, played 15 times, and then moved to Luton the same
year. They moved him on swiftly. But yeah. Luton were like the team of that era. They had a plastic pitch. They had Mad Les Seeley in goal. They're Foster and I think Mal Donaghy at the back.
David Pleat at the helm.
They had a great little winger called Kingsley Black.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Steen and Mick Harford up front. Fucking hell, mate, what a team.
They were the future.
They were a futuristic team. Even their kit was quite futuristic with, like, it was white but with orange and black bits on, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then now they're almost on the brink of the Premier League. They're around in the playoff positions. Yeah, they could
fucking
quite...
Fucking hell, that'd be a throwback, wouldn't it? Getting Luton up.
Yeah, but Steve Foster moved there and he was the captain when they won the League Cup in 1988.
Yeah, I remember that. Did they beat Arsenal, didn't they?
Can't remember.
They also thrashed West Ham in the semis.
It wasn't Nottingham Forest, was it?
Oh, was it?
I don't know, fuck it. Anyway, onwards. So we've got the Melchester story, the Roy the Rover story, and it's on the front page and the back page and two pages in the middle. So where are we? It says it was a benefit match for Vernon Elliott, former Melchester favourite, between the Rovers and an international 11 led by Rovers former manager Roy Race. On the pitch, it was thrills and high drama all the way, as you would expect. You rarely get a goalless draw with Melchester. Mm. Melchester were losing 2-0. And in the first panel, it's Roy, who is playing for the International 11 in a green, almost Hibs-type kit. Green shirt with white sleeves, white shorts, and he is dancing through the Melchester defence. They're all having a nice sit-down. Is that Noel Baxter there with the ginger hair? And Vernon Elliott himself have been bamboozled, let's say, by Racy. One of the crowds shouts, Racy's walked round half the defence. He must score this time. But, Roy, hit it! Which is a variation on hit it, Martin. Charlie Carter's coming out. And Roy looks worried. We see it from behind Charlie Carter and he's storming out. And there's been some bad blood, obviously, between Charlie Carter and Roy. It'll probably be explained on the inside pages. But Roy is... It looks like he's shitting himself. Because Charlie Carter's storming towards him here.
Yeah, he does. It's not like Roy to look scared, but it's like Charlie Carter knows his weakness.
It's a chink in his armour, isn't it? Yeah, very rare.
He's got special powers because of his Native American heritage. He'll put a fucking spell on me. He's done it before.
He's got one of them dream catchers hanging up in his car off the fucking rearview mirror. I don't know what it does, but he swears by it.
It's some kind of hex he's got over me. Find myself doing peculiar things in his presence against my own will.
Charlie Carter comes out and smothers the ball, slams into Roy at the same time. Roy goes diving over the top of him. Ah! Says Roy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 ears and a CH. Ah! The cat smothered the ball. Great save. But why the heck did Roy hesitate? Of course, when they say heck, of course they mean fuck.
Yeah. Really?
Why the fuck did Roy hesitate?
The fucking heckin' bastard.
And Roy's poleaxed. He's on the ground holding his head. And he's thinking, they're right. I did hesitate. But why? The goal was at my mercy. That's the fucking dream catcher, isn't it? He's activated the dream catcher. Got inside your head.
He's fucking... He's summoned his rain gods.
And he thinks, but who cares? So long as the Manchester fans are enjoying themselves, cheering me instead of jeering me. That's right. It is all about me once again. And they're all shouting, come on, Racy! Come on, Racy! God, they fucking hated him half an hour ago. And he thinks, and the atmosphere, it's as if I've never been away. God, just fucking go back,
you weirdo.
Walk out on Walford, just do it, it's inevitable. Jimmy Slade's got the ball, Roy's running towards him, and I think that's Noah Baxter shouts, man on Jimmy Slade, watch it. Roy comes in with a brilliant tackle from the side.
It's the sort of tackle that today you'd get booked for.
Instant booking, yeah.
Even though he really cleanly gets the ball. Yeah. Just like if you go to ground, booking.
Ridiculous. Game's gone.
Yes.
And Jimmy Slade shouts, "Aug! What a tackle! Roy can hand it out as well as take it."
I don't quite like the way in which you phrase that, but...
What do you mean? Is that a euphemism?
Fair enough.
Are you trying to allude to something in my personal life?
I'll let it pass. As I say, some of the things I've done in the presence of Charlie Carter in the past have been as a result of his spells, trickery, hexes, call them what you will.
So the ball goes out into the crowd and it says, as the ball was returned from the crowd, it gets thrown onto the pitch. Jeff Giles says, take the throw, Roy, quick one. And Roy says, okay, Jeff. And he goes to pick up the ball. Sure enough, he says, wait a minute, someone scrawled something on the ball with a marker pen. Someone has got a message to Roy via the medium of a football. And we get a close-up of the ball itself in the next frame, and it just says, come back, Roy, all is forgiven. What the fuck? Who has took a marker pen into the ground
and
on the off chance that the ball might end up in his hand and he can write a message on it which he can then throw directly to Roy?
Also, I mean, fucking, these footballs are expensive. Because what I'm thinking is someone might have brought in their own football to the game. I'd bring in a football and a marker pen.
A pre-scrawled ball.
Yeah, pre-scrawled ball ready to chuck at him.
Well, you got in that bag, mate? It's a pre-scrawled ball. Yeah, all right, no problem.
What's that for? Throw it, Roy Race. Got a message for him. Is it offensive or threatening? No, it just says, come back, Roy Race, all is forgiven. Let me have a look. Yeah, all right, go on.
Fair
in
enough.
You go. In you go. Good luck.
Tony, pre-scroll ball coming through. It's all right. I've checked it.
It's fine. It just says comeback royal is forgiven. Yeah. Absolutely fine. It's not in breach of any of our scrolling codes.
Either that or he's written on it. He's a speed writer, whoever he is.
Quick, pass me that ball. Well, where's my magic marker? What should I write? Something like, come back, Roy. All is forgiven. Exclamation mark. Throw.
Keith, hold the lid while I draw the ball.
If I lose the lid, the nib will dry out and Mother shall be furious. But in all seriously, mate, I fucking hate it when the felt tip nibs dry out. It's like my worst thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you lick the nib to try and bring it, revive it somewhat.
Tastes horrible.
It tastes horrible. How obsessed were you when you were a kid with the threat of ink poisoning? I heard about it a lot. I don't know about you.
It was a big thing. Yeah,
it was a big thing.
Yeah. And when everyone
was on about it. It was almost like, it was before AIDS came out, it was like the big sort of health scare in society, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you did lick the nib, you'd only lick it just enough to try and get a bit of colour out of it.
If I lick it for more than a split second, I'll die. Mm. And then if you were the sort of lunatic who was going around writing shit on your hand and your arm, well, you might as well just fucking go and stick your head in the oven, mate, because it's a death sentence.
That's it. The ink would sink through your skin
into your blood,
poison your blood. Yeah,
that's how it worked. So they put a lot of lead in ink in those days, didn't they?
Everything was full of lead. Petrol, ink.
They enhanced everything with a nice bit of lead.
That's how it would stick. It wouldn't take otherwise. You know, you couldn't have a fucking felt tip. It didn't have lead in it. Or pencil.
In Russia, the kiddies all fucking write with leadless ink, and it just fucking disappears on the page 10 seconds after they've written it. Because in Russia, they're fucking health and safety mad, number one. And number two, they can't afford the lead. Think yourself lucky you're living in a free country where you've got leaded ink. Just do yourself a favour and don't fucking lick too much of it, or you'll be dead.
Where do we get lead from? Is it from mines? Quarries?
Yeah, lead mines, yeah.
Lead mines.
To be fair, they've probably got loads of it in Russia, but with communism failing, they probably ended up flogging a load of it to the West just to try and prop themselves up.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Where is my nearest
lead mine? My guess is Sheffield, but we'll see.
There's a lead mining museum in Bishop Auckland near Durham.
That's
a museum. That doesn't seem to be fully functioning.
I mean, the North East is the sort of place that I'd look first, to be honest.
Yeah. Doesn't seem to be going on so much anymore. Seems to be a thing of the past now, so I guess we're not using lead
as much as it's all technical now, isn't it? They've got all chemicals and stuff to replace it.
It's probably worse.
Mm.
You know where you are with lead. Anyway.
You know where you are with lead.
With lead.
This is an advertisement by the British Lead Association. Come on, mums. Give your kids lead for breakfast. It's tasty and nutritious. It certainly puts lead in this young chap's pencil.
Sprinkle some lead over your cornflakes.
And when hubby's back from a hard day at the office, put some lead in his pipe and let him smoke it.
And a small amount of liquid lead into his whiskey once he arrives home from work. or beer if he works down the mine.
If he's common, why not put lead in his beer?
Lead, the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, can't beat
a bit
of lead.
We'll probably do a history box on lead one day, I reckon.
Or a t-shirt that just says, you know where you are with lead.
Every episode, a new t-shirt opportunity. Zero sales.
No, we sold a few Hit It Martin t-shirts.
Have we?
And just in case you didn't see that on socials, listeners, the Hit It Martin has taken off to such a huge degree as a result of the Melchester Odyssey, especially since Roy moved to Walford and they have a Martin playing
in
the team.
The
we
squad.
Do have a range of t-shirts and other ephemera available on our Redbubble site, which is easily found with a quick Google or via our website or our socials with Hit It Martin on. And we have actually sold three or four t-shirts, so I think that counts as a massive success.
When you say other ephemera, would that include a beach towel?
Not sure about beach towel. Redbubble, the Latvians, we did make some beach towels available when we were still with the Latvians. Redbubble do a wider range of strange things. And you can basically, the way it works is you could upload one design and they will just show you that design on like about 100 fucking mad objects. But sometimes the objects seem so obscene that I actually say, no thanks, I don't want to make that available to our listeners.
Really?
Okay. I don't want a clock that says you fucking do it on. But maybe I do, I don't know.
I would say, why would you not do that?
Get in touch and let us know.
I know that you're in charge of the Redbubble side of things, but... Clocks, eh? Fucking hell. Right.
Oh, yeah, there's clocks available.
Fuck me. Right, where
what a
are
world.
We at?
Okay, so he's put the ball down. Yeah. He picked the ball down and it's got a message on it.
Yeah,
he probably
come
doesn't
back,
like
Roy,
that.
Was forgiven. And it says, even some of the Melchester fans had got the mistaken impression from a television interview that Roy had no regrets about leaving Melchester to become player manager of Walford Rovers. This has dragged on and on. He's not taken any opportunity to put the record straight or anything, has he? He tried to just smash up the photographer's cameras instead. He says, he thinks, but now I think they're beginning to realise that I'm glad to be back. And he takes a throw in and he bounces it straight off Noel Baxter's chest. And Noel Baxter goes, hey!
Hey, you can't do that! I think you'll find I fucking can.
He's basically played a 1-2 off Noel Baxter.
You can't do that! Ball to chest! Ball to chest!
A gentlemanly conduct!
Ouch! Oh, he knows I've got a weak chest!
Charity match, shut up! And a crowd member shouts, oh, magic! Roy's bounced the throw in off Noel Baxter! And look at that cross! He sends in a fucking brilliant arcing cross with his left foot into the box.
Beckham-esque, that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Lovely bit of drawing, that. There's two Melchester defenders there, and it evades them both because the international squad number 10, I don't know who it is, diving header, it's there! 3-0! Another one of them says, Roy set up every goal.
Yes, well spotted.
Yeah, he did. Fucking hell, good luck with your relegation battle, Melchester. As the final whistle blew, Duncan Mackay growled in grudging admiration. And Mackay, I mean, you could do it if you want to do it. Cause
what
it's
a man. Roy knew what kind of reception was waiting for him. Yet, he still found the courage to come here. And then Vic goes, and turn on a performance like that. I reckon it's time we made our peace with him, Dunk. Aye, no matter what happens. Fucking hell.
He's a bunch of fucking babies.
Yeah.
He said something about us on the TV, which I did not take kindly to.
Which disgruntled us somewhat.
Erased him from my Christmas card list. The Rovers super brat Vic Guthrie was the first to reach Roy. And he says, Roy, aye. He just looks like an old lesbian, doesn't he, Vic Guthrie?
He does, yeah.
God. Roy says, forget it, Vic. Just don't believe everything you see on telly in the future.
Mate, do you remember Ali's wife, Sue, in EastEnders? Ali and Sue.
Yeah.
He looks like her.
And she was the barmaid in Yesterday's Hero as well, wasn't she?
Yeah, that's right. Very similar.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He does. Very, very similar. Don't believe everything you say on the telly in the future. What? Even Blake 7? That's not real. Fuck off. I'm telling you. They've made it up. They do it at the studio. Dick Turpin as well.
That's they can't not real. Get cameras in space. Believe me, I've tried. We were going to... Me and Blackie got involved in a group of lads who were friends of his cousins. We were going to make the first porno up in space. We had a couple of lasses who were bang up for it. We'd even made contact with Buzz Aldrin to see if he'd play the male lead. But it turns out gravity plays havoc with the filming process, so we had to abandon it. In the end, we shot it in a mate's farm instead. Weren't
the best
quite
way
the same.
To do was to get them to like finger each other up on top of a massive ladder. It wasn't really out of space, it was just high up in the sky.
As close to space as we can manage to get without compromising our production values.
Biggest cop he chose us. The investors were happy, that was the main thing.
We made back, and I suppose that's the main thing.
So then, what the fuck? Two young fans come running up from the tunnel. They've got their hats and their scarves. They're proper Melchester fans. And they are carrying what looks like a huge scroll, which has been wrapped around a length of wood, like a pole. And they're unfurling it as they go. The fans are all shouting, "Roy Race! Roy Race! Roy Race!" as if the cunt hadn't just walked out on them 6 weeks earlier. Yeah. Pathetic. And one of them shouts, "Hey, what are those two kids carrying out of the tunnel?" Another one says, "It's a petition, Roy." Oh my God, the petition.
Oh, these are like God. A right couple of cunts, these kids. Look at as the well.
And it snakes all the way around the pitch.
Absolutely.
Through the centre
bollocks.
Circle into the other half of the pitch. And I think it's Noel Baxter who says, "Signed by almost every kid in Melchester."
Now.
That might be Jimmy Slade there as well. "They've never lost faith in you, Roy, despite what their dads thought." Fucking dads.
The dads all hate you.
But the kids still love you. And Roy is on his knees examining this petition, which is snaked out right across the pitch. And there must be a million signatures on it. Some of them have drawn a football. One says, "Come home, Racy." Another one says, "Come back, Roy. We love you, Racy. We want Roy's return." Someone has drawn a picture of Roy. Someone's drawn a picture of what looks like the moon with a sad face in the bottom left-hand corner of the petition. Roy is going, "Fuck me, what is this?
Fuck Jesus him. Christ. This is creepy now."
I know that I've said in the past that I could quite easily start a cult up. No problem, but it looks like I already have. Jesus,
I wanted it to be on my own terms. This one's just fucking spooking me.
It's a self-generating cult. Is that what I wanted?
It was something I was keeping in my back pocket for if the football and all the other business interests went tits up for some reason. I thought, well, worst comes to worst, I can always start a cult.
Start a cult, but it needs to be activated by me on my say-so.
Yeah.
Not like this. This is weird.
I've registered the name for it already with Company's House, so everything's ready to go.
Roy's cult. And it says, I don't know who it is, it might be Jimmy Slade. It's their way of saying they want you to come back to them. Oh, man. And then Jimmy says, "So do we, Roy. Harvey Rawson wouldn't stand in your way. You know that." Who's the cunt with the moustache again? Who's he?
I don't know, he looks a bit like Paco Diaz, but it's not Paco Diaz, but they've made him look too similar. He's got the same hairstyle and moustache.
He looks like a council official. But anyway, yeah. He says, "Try and patch things up with Sam Barlow." Noel Baxter says, "He must be regretting everything that's happened." And this is a fucking beautiful moment. Roy glanced up at the grim-faced Melchester chairman. In the background, it looks like we're in the middle of a volcano.
Yeah.
It's another one of those weird red and orange backgrounds.
Yeah, but, well, I think there's a lot, like, a nuclear holocaust was on our minds a lot in this era.
Yeah, it was kind of priming the kids for it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sort of gives them that post-apocalyptic feel with, like, all the radiation, like, filling the skies.
Get yourself ready, because this is what's coming. Yeah. And Roy
It won't knock me down. I'm like a fucking cockroach. When the Russians drop the fucking bomb, don't worry about that. I'll be the last cunt standing.
Plans have been
made. I'll rebuild
made.
The human race from scratch if I have to.
That's when the cult kicks in. Humanity 2.0, I'm calling it. So, Roy's
if it comes to it, I'll have to fuck a cockroach just to get things started
just
again.
To get things going.
It'll be the only thing around for it to be fucked. It'll be like fucking Last Orders in the fucking nightclub. All that's left is a cockroach. Stick your cock in that and take it from there.
I mean, it's going to be boring at first. It's going to be me and my new cockroach wife trying to raise our little cockroach kids. Nothing in common, nothing to say to each other. Cockroaches can't even fucking speak. It's going to be hard, but I'll do
that
it.
That might
for
be
humanity.
A blessing. At least it won't nag, unlike a human wife.
And then, of course, I'm going to have to start fucking me cockroach children as well and procreating with them.
Which won't be just pretty, and... but needs must.
Just to try and bring some humanity back into the bloodstock.
As I understand it, the way evolution works is eventually they'll morph into fish, then birds, then monkeys, and then we'll have the humans back up and running before you know it.
I'll give it 18 months. Cockroach pregnancy, the term is about, it's about eight hours, I think.
Very so, short gestation period. That's the beauty of it. I've read up on all this at Melchester Library. Excuse me. Have you got anything on the gestation cycle of a cockroach? No, it's just a project I'm researching. Let's put it that way.
I also need some information on human cockroach crossbreeding and also on cockroach incest.
And lastly, on whether or not you can drink water from a stream that has radiation in it. So if you can collect all the books pertaining to those matters, I shall be on my way. But what's quick that? As you like, because I've just seen on the news that Brezhnev's feeling a little bit fucking scrappy with the old nukes. So the sooner I get this in order, the better.
What's that? They're all in the microfiche? Oh, fucking hell. Okay.
Yeah, this'll take all day. You got the problem with the microfiche is you got one dial that goes up and down and another one that goes left and right.
I can never get it to like land right on the bit I want.
I'm like doing an Etch-a-Sketch. I'm all over the fucking place. Sometimes the microfiche ends up getting snarled up in the mechanism.
And then I zoom in, and I zoom it in on a different bit of what I want. I can't get it to go level.
Nightmare.
Oh, God. So he's looking up at Sam Barlow, and he thinks, but does he regret it? Is there really any point in trying to patch things up with him? Barlow's looking fucking just cross with his cube head. Look at it. At that moment, there's a pitch inversion. Wahoo! Shout the fans. And a copper says, it's no good. We can't hold them back any longer. There's two of them trying to hold them back. And hundreds of fans stream onto the pitch shouting, we want Roy! We want Roy!
Fuck me.
Look at his faces. They come running towards him. Oh, God. It's an assassination attempt. Shit.
It's happening. It's happening.
It begins. I've got a cockroach in the pocket of my shorts. Now!
Right, time to fuck it now. Hopefully I can do it inside the shorts without anyone noticing. I'll just wave to the fans. Little they know that I'm secretly fornicating with a cockroach while I do so.
Rebuilding humankind against
the. Too
knowledge.
Late for you, cunts. Half man, half cockroach is on his way. Do your worst.
They're shouting as they run towards him. Let's show Sam Barlow that he belongs to our Rovers. Oh, God. I mean, I suppose it's going to get this out of the way and get it fucking sorted out. And he will come back, we know that. That's the end of it. And it says next week, Roy comes face to face with Sam Barlow. Marks out of 10.
I'm going to give that a high one. I think that's a 9.
Yeah, a lot of annoying stuff, but a lot went on in there as well. The ball, the petition, the speed writer, the hellscape, and of course the cockroach incest. We'll find out what happens next time, basically. So just
tune
in.
Simple as that. It's the way it works.
Yeah. Bye.
Till next time. See ya. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.